I'll be right there.
Please join me in the Zohar class. I'm going to be reading from the Zohar, from Parashah Korach. I'm going to be reading section 13, which is titled, Setting Aside a Thank You Offering. A Todah offering is the Hebrew. I'm reading from verse 55. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kunenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu kunenei. Ve'od shelosha ezronim inun yud 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 ikuda batada. The Hafrish Toda, the Rabbanan Mare, Matnitin, Ukmuha, the Toda, Ezrim, Ezroni, Umit Palgin Yud, Ezronin, Lakamet, the Yud Lamatsa, Umishel Matsa, O Sin. Lamed matzot umasara shel farmets osim yud chalot v'dai hu solet chalot matzot belulot b'shamen ma'ei ezronim d'inun yud hevate havo avdin lamed matzot Dinun yud yud yud, hai shema zinin ihu, limi na lezamnin ihu lishmala, zinin beemzaita, rafame mikol sitra, limine ul belismale. About also, 3/10 measures are 3 times yud, yud, yud. In yud, 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 in yud, hey, vav, hey, when fully spelled out, totaling to 63. They are the precepts after this. One, to set aside a thanks offering. And the rabbis, the sages of the Mishnah, said it that a thanking is equal to 20/10 measures. And they are divided into 10/10 measures for leavened bread and 10 for unleavened. From the 10 of the unleavened, they produce 30 matzot. And from the 10 of the leavened bread, they produce 10 chalot. That is the meaning of unleavened cakes of fine flour mingled with oil. From the 10/10 measures, which are the 10 letters of Yud Hey Vav Hey, fully spelled to the numerical value of 63, which are Yud Vav Dalet, Hey Yud, Vav Aleph Vav, Hey Yud. They made 30 matzot that are Yud, Yud, and Yud. That is, in the Yud Hey Vav Hey of 63. This is because the numerical value they are 30. The secret of the 3/10 measures, as explained above. This name, Yud Hey Vav Hey, in the full spelling of 63, is sometimes to the right and sometimes to the left. Sometimes it is in the center, which is mercy from every direction, both the right and the left. since the central column includes the right and the left. This section, this verse, is complicated only because most people don't realize that when you say a letter, you say an aleph, you are also saying a word, aleph lamed peh, which is the spelling out of the letter aleph. And that's true for every letter in the alphabet. It's also true when you see a word in the Torah on the scroll. There is a revealed part of that word, the letters themselves, and the concealed part of that word, which is the rest of the words of each of those letters. And one of the Kabbalistic techniques with respect to the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei is to spell out the letters in various ways. So Yud is always spelled Yud-Vav-Dalet, but He can be spelled three different ways. It can be spelled He-Yud, He-He, or He-Aleph, and that changes the gematria of the 10 letters making up the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei. And of course, there's secrets within that. Why are there 10 letters and so forth? This verse is alluding to a level connected to Bina, the Sefirah Bina, which is a gematria of 63 and includes three yuds when spelled out in that particular manner. And it's explaining that that is related to the breads that were brought with every animal sacrifice. There was a mincha offering. There was a bread offering. Some of those bread offerings were with chalot, meaning that the bread was allowed to rise. And others of them were matzah. The bread was not allowed to rise. And this is all related in this verse as we are learning. Verse 56. The zim niyim yud lemina ve'em pochatim be'ma asara malkiyot uzinim yud lishmala ve'em pochatim be'ma asara shofarot uzinim yud be'emsa ita ואין פוחתים בימי זברונות. Sometimes the yud, which represents malchut, is in the right, and that is a secret of why it must never be less than 10 malchuts, since 10 is the secret of yud. Sometimes the yud, which is malchut, is on the left, and this is the secret of why it must never be less than 10 blows of the shofar, since at that time it is considered a shofar, like Ima, who is on the left, as it's mentioned. Sometimes the yud that is malhut is in the center, between the right and the left, when it is referred to as remembrance, corresponding to the name Zeranpin, that is the central column. That is the secret meaning of why it must never be less than 10 remembrances. And this verse is a little confusing because where is there a malchut? Where is there a yud in malchut? Malchut isn't spelled with a yud. But in the previous verse, it explained that there was a yud on the right, a yud on the left, and a yud in the center. And it was relating to Malchut, which is connected to Bina through the three Yuds. And this verse is now bringing that point home. That's the end of section 13. And if we go all on to section 14, which is entitled, At the Commandment of Hashem, They Remained in Camp. If you would like to ask a question, let me double check, but I think you just have to reach out and speak out.
Oh.
Hello? If you'd like to ask a question, just go ahead and speak out.
I'm sorry, I'm not hearing you clearly.
Can you speak into the phone?
That's wonderful. So I don't think I'm gonna need that much this time at all. I'm better now than I was after 2 months ago.
Yeah. I'm not sure what's going on with this. Conversation because I'm not understanding their conversation.
Yeah. Right.
So I'm going to turn the reference off. If you want to ask a question, just press star.
I'm pretty sure.
So just ask a question by pressing star 6, and then I'll be able to hear you. Continuing to read section 14. And at the commandment of Hashem, they remained in camp. Verse 57. Alpi Hashem yachanu, v'alpi Hashem yisau, et mishmeret Hashem shemaru, v'kol yurit la Hashem, dalet anpin, gimel tivan inun lakabel, Tilat Yudin, the Dalad Anpin, the Kol Chaya, the Kabel, Dalad Anpin, the Hashem, Alpi Hashem, Yachanu, the Yisrael. At the commandment of Hashem, they remained in camp, and at the commandment they kept the charge of Hashem. This verse contains three names of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, in accordance with the three Yuds mentioned above, since each Yud has four faces, meaning four letters of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. This is the secret of the 12 boundaries that contain all perfection, which are the four letters of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, and Malchut. Within each one, there are three yuds. That is three columns for a total of 12. He explains further. There are three living creatures corresponding to the three yuds, meaning the three columns called lion, ox, and eagle. And there are four aspects to each living creature. That is to each column in accordance with the four aspects of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh. Meaning in accordance with the four letters of Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, which are Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, and Malchut. And 12, 4 times 3 is 12, the 12 boundaries. At the commandment of Hashem, they remained in camp. And at the commandment of Hashem, they journeyed. That is in harmony with the perfection of the 12 boundaries. That verse, or this verse, is really very clear, but for many people, they'll find it confusing because their study of the Tree of Life has been limited. Every Sefirah has 10 Sefirot within it. Therefore, it has the three columns within it, right, left, and central. And there are four main Sefirot within the emotional level. There's Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, all coming down to Malchut. Now, they do come down through Netzach, Hod, and Yesod. But Netzach, Hod, and Yesod actually represent a transformation to a lower energy. And so frequently, the Zohar and other Kabbalists will skip those because we're not talking about transforming to a lower level. We're talking about right, left, and central and manifestation, which is what Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet represents, right, left, and central, and manifestation is Malchut. So we have this basic four, and then within each of those, we have the basic three. Right, left, and central. Why is there no manifestation within a Sephirot? There is, but it's not counted because that concept of manifestation only takes place at the overall frame. Any manifestation prior to the final manifestation, the overall frame of reference manifestation, any manifestation before that is not considered a manifestation because it's not complete. Verse 58. Shamaru da shekinta dinat ra le'inun dishmare shabbatot v'yamim tovim debet gimukach lazaza shekinah mi'Yisrael v'kol shabbatot vayot va'afilu b'shabbatot d'chol eladihu sogeret sugeret b'chom. After the three yud hey vav heys, at the commandment of Hashem, at the commandment of Hashem, the charge of Hashem, it says they kept, which is the Shekhinah, that receives from these three columns that are the secret of the 12 boundaries. It is indicated in the words they kept, since she keeps all those who keep the Shabbatot and the holidays. Therefore, the Shekhinah has not moved from Israel all the Shabbatot and holidays. This is true even on Shabbatot that are not on festive days. Only she is shut up and closed in them, meaning that she does not bestow plenty on the lower beings. That is not the case on Shabbatot that occur on holidays, when her plenty is poured in great abundance. This is referring to the idea that we need to call down the flow of energy on the holiday. And we explain that in our prayer classes on Sunday mornings. Verse 59.
The Merkavta, the Avahan Ilaim, the Nun Gildula, Gibura Tiferet, the Itzlechon Teresar Akin, the Kabel Teresar Shabantin, Ufum the Olifat, Shehut Zahut Ali Lane, Mare Tzilotin, Umare Zakvan Bekol Pikuda Ufikuda Diolaita Haki Yahanu Al Zakvan Dilhon Bekain Yisa Ulagabaihu Behaki Nachta Shemira Lagabaihu. At every prayer, she, Malchut, ascends to Yudei Vave, that is there on pin, until it reaches the chariot of the Supreme Patriarchs, who are Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet, which contain the 12 countenances corresponding to the 12 tribes. This is because each one of Chesed, Gevurah, and Tiferet incorporates 4 countenances, Chesed, Gevurah, Tiferet, and Malchut, totaling 12. According to her, Malchut advocates merits for all those who pray and have earned merits in each and every precept in the Torah. So they remained in camp over their merits, and so they journeyed to their merits. Thus the charge is going down to them. This verse is a bit esoteric, but it's explaining why we are looking at the idea of manifestation in the overall frame rather than the other manifestations. I've already explained it in the earlier verse. Verse 60. Inun diavdin zakban al menat mekabel piras nafit kuchavarichu bemerkavta diavad David shomrin delay uman diavet zakavan shelo al menat mekabel paras nafit alayhu. Amerkavta dileu shrashiaya nafit alayhu v'yovadayhu v'inun shedin humazikin umalake habala. Amerkavta dilchon v'yitpara minchon ha'atu male. Bat mitin v'imru v'day hakiyu zaka ahu lakach raya mehemana al kain raya mehem nuna. This is the end of the section of called raya mehemna, the faithful. This is Lot, faithful shepherd. And that's the end of the section 14. So we end with a blessing. Baruch Hashem Leolam, Amen v'Amen. Yimloch Hashem Leolam. Leolam, Amen v'Amen. Blessed is Hashem forevermore. Amen and amen. May Hashem reign forevermore. Amen and amen. Are there any questions or comments? I'm going to if you have a question, please feel free to express it. Just speak out. You don't have to change your phone settings.
I didn't understand enough to even be able to come up with a question. It's Harriet.
How are you, Harriet?
I'm good.
Zohar class. The Zohar class is about intuition. It's about connecting to your intuition. So most of the time people don't ask questions.
Okay.
Feel badly that you're not asking a question. It's not supposed to be. The energy of the Zohar is about holiness and expanding your consciousness. Its light purifies it. Its light elevates. I try and make commentary only to help those who wish, but because there are a lot of people who are not comfortable just
scanning, just reading the Zohar.
Mm-hmm.
When I was first learning, my teacher said, you know, just scan it. You don't know how to pronounce it. There's no vowels. You don't know what you're doing without vowels. And then I had another teacher who said, do the best you can without the vowels. And I had a number of Israeli friends who came, studied with us. Obviously, they were more advanced on that level of being able to speak and read Hebrew.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to be amazed because I had no desire to understand this. I obviously had a desire to understand it, but I limited that desire. I knew that when I understood something, I was limiting it by my own ego, by my own understanding. And there is so much more that can be expressed. It's when you read a Hebrew word, you're also reading a number. You're also reading 7 or 8 or 9 levels of numerical values. Each have different connections. You know, how can one understand all of the levels? We can't.
Mm-hmm.
So accept that you don't understand, and in time you will begin to be able to ask questions. In time, you'll grow to that level where a question will occur to you that will be coming from your intuition.
Okay. Do all of those, 20 volumes of the Zohar that you carry around with you, is all of that, is there a pattern to reading it like there to the Torah, so it's at the end of the year you have completed that entire Zohar? Is there any... I know some of the Zohars refer back to the Parsha for that week. Some of the Zohar readings, but not all. Yeah. So do you read the entire Zohar within a year, like you do the Torah?
Yes. The Zohar comments on the Parashiot, on the portions of the week.
Oh.
There's a preface to the Zohar that's we're told to study at the same time we study Bereshit.
Mm-hmm.
And then there is other sections of the Zohar that we're told to study at other times than a particular parasha. I'm thinking mm-hmm. about on Lag BaOmer, we study the small assembly, which is the day that Rabbi Shimon left. So we read about his leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And at another time, we'll study the large assembly, which is in the Parasha of Truma.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, each week we're studying a Zohar connected to the portion of the week. And there are some portions that have no Zohar. And that's either because it was never written or it was never rediscovered, was never mm-hmm. revealed.
It's lost, yeah. Oh, okay.
But it's basically the weeks we don't have the parasha, there is a reason that I explain in my emails on those weeks. They're basically, the energy is so negative that we need raw, naked energy to protect us that week. And so we can't understand this, that particular week. And one example mm-hmm. of that is parasha for the Zohar for the week of Tisha B'Av, because that energy is so strong. It's
mm-hmm.
the energy of Mashiach, but it's also the energy of the destruction of the temple. And how
right.
do we balance that duality? So we don't get an opportunity to understand it. We just connect to the raw naked energy of the Chumash itself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the portion of Devarim. Always
okay.
the portion of Devarim. We always read Devarim before Tisha B'Av.
Okay, thank you.
Am I giving you too much information?
No, I asked the question. No, I was curious. I it's all just again, it's so much. I'm not sure that you say so. I won't believe you if I feel the energy that I know it's true. You know, I don't feel it because it just seems to be a lot of gobbledygook. But I shouldn't give up on the first try.
No, definitely not.
Okay.
And none of us can feel the Zohar on the first try. Well, the only person I ever knew who felt the energy on the first try was someone who had for 15 years had been feeling energy from different people in different situations, and he just felt energy out of the Hebrew letters, but it wasn't the energy out of the Zohar per se. Every time I read from the Chumash, he felt energy. Every time I read any Hebrew letters or words, he felt energy. So I wouldn't worry about it. Just keep after it and recognize, you know, there's a conflict between all of our training for the last 40, 50, 60 years, depending on our ages, where we've been taught by the Western society to use logic. And here the Kabbalah is coming and saying, use your intuition.
Okay.
So, you know, we have to relearn that process.
Okay. Do you feel the energy as much hearing the words as actually visually seeing words? Or really those?
Hearing and seeing are two different levels of consciousness. Remember what the Torah said at Mount Sinai. The people saw the sounds and heard the pictures, the visions.
Mm-hmm.
These are two different levels of consciousness. There is a disease where people see sounds and people hear pictures, because their separation between their eyes and their ears is not fixed. It's not working well.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, vision and hearing will be unified. But at this point, I'll give you the perfect, the halakha that explains it. When you go to hear the Torah on Saturday morning, you are to hear the Torah, the scroll, the reading from the scroll. But when it comes to the Haftorah, you're required to both hear and see it.
Hmm.
The difference is that the Haftorah is on a lower level. The Chumash was a revelation direct from Hashem through Moses. The Haftorah is the prophets hearing or getting their messages from Hashem, but it's on a lower level. It's not on the same level of consciousness. And so in order for us to get the full value, we have to use both sight and sound.
Okay.
You know, if you can afford it, when you're ready and you feel comfortable, I recommend buying the full volume set. But if not, people, you know, to find $500 is not easy. So I suggest you go online and read the Daily Zohar, where you're getting a section of Zohar that's very powerful. And if you're hearing me on a Zohar class, and you're looking at the Daily Zohar, as strange as it sounds, you're getting it on both levels. Because the Zohar is unified, even if we perceive them as two different parts.
Okay.
Remember, as you said already, don't believe a word I say. But try it. See if it works for you.
I will when I can. I will.
Have a beautiful evening, and we'll be having our Rosh Chodesh connection in a few hours.
Yes, and I'll be planning to be there. Thank you.
Be well.
Have a nice day. You too.
Bye-bye.